An ancient man was very graphic in portraying worry as sharp teeth biting into a neck. A wolf going for the jugular. Worry. Charles Swindoll, in his book, Laugh Again, it's his commentary on the book of Philippians, calls worry the universal addiction. He says, quote, more people are addicted to worry than all other addictions combined. Minerth and Meyer and Hawkins, in their book, Worry-Free Living, state worry is the number one mental health disorder in America. George Sweeting, former president of Moody Bible Institute, in his little article on how to whip worry, says, worry is one of the world's leading ailments. And unfortunately, it is contagious, easily caught, and fearfully experienced. He refers to worry as an epidemic in our society. In a Radio Bible School article entitled, Who Worries? The author answers, everyone. No person lives without worry. As followers of Christ, we certainly aren't immune to worry. End of quote. Wait a second. Do Christians worry? Yeah, we do. We just dignify it and we call it something else. We get concerned about things, or we have burdens for such and such. But folks, if we are honest, I think every one of us, including this pastor, we worry. We don't like to call it that, but we worry about our families. We worry about our kids. We worry about our kids growing up in this society that we live in today. We worry about jobs. We worry about aging parents. We worry about safety. We worry about finances. We worry about health issues. We worry about medical treatment. We worry about dying. We worry about relationships. We worry about the future, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We even worry about worry. And worry can really do a job on us. Worry can lead to ulcers, migraine headaches, high blood pressure, hypertension, heart problems, and take it from me, many sleepless nights. Worry. How do you deal with worry in your life? Would you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6. We have been studying in Matthew the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus gives principles for kingdom living. Kingdom living. And in the portion we're going to look at today, Jesus, knowing the tendency of humans to worry, in verses 25 through 34, he talks about that very subject, about worry. In fact, in these verses, the word worry occurs 6 times. If you have the King James Version, it's take no thought, but it's the same word for worry, 6 times. Let's look at verses 25, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, and look at what Jesus has to say about worry. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you shall eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you are, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, Jesus is talking here about worry and how we can overcome, I think, worry in our lives as Christians. And I'll tell you what, every one of us deals with it, if you're honest. And I'll tell you, I deal with it. I've struggled with it, even over the last couple of weeks. I struggled over some worry. But I want to look at these. I want to ask four questions concerning worry and see what we can find here. First of all, the first question is we want to deal with is, what is worry? I mean, to be able to deal with it or overcome it, we got to understand what we're dealing with. The American Dictionary defines worry as to feel uneasy about, to be troubled, to cause to feel anxious, distressed, or troubled. Mental uneasiness or anxiety. We've all felt that, haven't we? That inside turmoil, that mental anguish, the distress we feel over something. The Greek word here is very interesting. The Greek word translated worry comes from two actual Greek words. One means to divide, and the other means the mind. Dr. George Sweeting again states, worry is actually a divided mind. Worry weakens our ability to act single-mindedly. It diminishes our power to will. Worry sometimes leaves people unable to make even the smallest decisions. Now, I don't know if that's a definition of worry, but it's sure, divided mind sure explains what it's like when we do worry. It's sometimes when we're worried, it's hard even to make the smallest decisions. Now, it's interesting, our English word, worry, comes from the Anglo-Saxon, which means, listen to this, to strangle or to choke. And boy, that's what worry does. It chokes us. Interesting, in Matthew 13, in the parable of the sower, you remember the sower went out and he's sowing, and some of the seed is thrown in. He throws it in among the thorns and the thistles. You remember what Jesus said about that when he explained the parable? He said, the seed that's thrown in with the thorns and thistles, the plant starts to come up, but the thorns and thistles choke it out. So it bears no fruit. And he said, the thorns and the thistles are the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Worry has a way, folks, of choking out a fruitful life, choking us, strangling us. What is worry? Dr. Roy Lauren defines worry as, worry is the unrest we pay for the unbelief with which we mortgage our life. Worry. We all know what it feels like, right? The worry, the distress, the trouble inside, the mind that won't stop, keeps on churning and thinking and being troubled. Worry. Well, what should we, second question, what should we not worry about? And Jesus tells us that. Look at verse 25. He mentions actually three things that we're not to worry about. He says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried." The literally, stop worrying. These people that he was speaking to were worrying. He says, stop worrying about your life. Now, this is speaking of our earthly life, physical life. He adds, as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink. What Jesus mentions here, folks, this is not the frills. These are the essentials, necessities of life. Food and drink, you can't go long without food, right? Especially if you're a Baptist. You can't do it. You can't go long without food or without water. You need, these are necessities of life. But Jesus says, don't worry about those things. Nor for your body. Don't worry about your body as to what you shall put on. And here he speaks of clothing, the covering of the body. This is another essential for living. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you know what? I don't worry about food. I don't worry about clothing. You know, I don't worry about that. You know, in the 21st century America, we have a lot of food, don't we? We have a lot. In fact, I'll bet you, if we couldn't go to the store for the next 2 months, most or many of you could live off the food you have in your food pantry, on your cupboards. We stock it up, don't we? There's a lot. We have a lot. We have so much. We don't worry about that. And we don't worry about clothing, do we? We don't. In fact, we have so many clothes. It's like, what do I wear? You know what? I'll bet you there are people. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'll bet you there are people here that have clothes hanging in their closet that they got two Christmases ago and there's still tags on them. I'll bet you there is. I'll bet you there are certain people here, and we won't say who this is, but have over 40 pairs of shoes. It's not the men. Because you gotta have 10 pair for winter, 10 pair for spring, 10 pair for summer, and 10 pair for fall. Everybody knows that. Don't you say, no, we wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, there are people sitting here today. Do you want to raise your... No, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. We live in 21st century America. We don't worry about that stuff. We don't have to. But I'll tell you what, back in the first century, these people that Jesus was talking to, there were food shortages. Some of these people didn't know where they were going to find their next meal. Some of these people didn't know, do I have enough clothes even to get through the night when it got pretty cold? These are the necessities of life. And Jesus says to him, you know what? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. And he's not talking again about the frills. He's not talking about the frills of life here. He's talking about the very essentials of life. And then look down at verse 34. Look at verse 34. It says something else not to worry about. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. And this is something, and I don't want to put this on you. I think many of us sometimes worry about the future. And he tells them, don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus says, don't worry about the future. So don't worry about life, your life. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about the future. So what is he saying here? If the people that Jesus spoke to were not to worry about the essentials of life, and that would include then all the non-essentials of life, I would think. Hello? I think we're getting a message here from, thank you for turning those off, all your cell phones. If Jesus says, don't worry about the essentials of life. What he's saying here, I believe, is we shouldn't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Nothing. You say, well, Jesus, that's easy to say. Hard to do. Huh? Hard to do? I don't want to worry. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not want to worry. And yet I find myself worrying. I'll tell you when it hits me. You know when it hits me? When I lay down at night. It's not, I keep busy in the day, so I don't worry. But then I lay down at night and my mind starts going. And I say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going there. I'm not going to let myself get onto that and start churning. And you know, it's like a little drip of water. It starts and there's this little trickle and it starts trickling down. And then it starts to grow and soon it's a Grand Canyon. And all my thoughts are going into that and it's going over and I'm trying to solve it and I'm worrying. Easy for you to say, hard. And so Jesus says, well, let me give you some reasons, number three, why you should not worry. And that's what he does. He gives us reasons why we shouldn't worry. Five reasons why we shouldn't worry. Number one, because life is more than the things that we're worried about. Verse 25d, he asks the question, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And the way he asks this in the original begs for a yes answer. Of course it is. Sure it is. I know it is. Leon Morris in his commentary states, the important as food and clothing are, they are not the most important things of all. There is more to life than food and more than to the body than its clothing. You know, we worry about an issue, but there's other things. There's other things in life that are important also. And when I worry, my whole attention goes to that thing I'm worrying about, and there's other issues that are important also that I'm neglecting. In fact, I'll tell you what, most of the stuff we worry about is it's not even worth worrying about. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. And most of the things we worry about the future, they never happen. They never happen. Jesus says here, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. And even if the thing I'm worried about is big, there are other things that are also important that are going to be neglected if I worry about this thing. All of my energy is going to be drained into the thing I'm worrying about and other important things neglected. So don't worry. Don't worry. Secondly, don't worry because we have a gracious Heavenly Father who loves us and will take care of us. Amen? Amen. Jesus uses two examples here on how God takes care of His creation. He first said, verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God feeds the birds. By the way, I'm glad the birds are back. Amen. I am so glad for the robins. And I sat in the car with Linda, and we were at a certain place, and there was this beautiful red bird. We just sat there and and he just serenaded us. I am so thankful for the birds. But God feeds the birds. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. Now, don't misunderstand that. That's not saying they don't work. The Lord's not advocating sitting back and doing nothing, and then God will supply all our needs. Birds work. I'll tell you, birds are up. You watch the robins. You watch the sparrows. They're up before most of us are up. And they're out working. They're going, they're up early to go out and work to gather food. But they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. And your heavenly Father, doesn't say their heavenly Father, your heavenly Father provides for them. He feeds them. He takes care of them. Listen, Are you not worth much more than they to God? I'm going to tell you, friend, maybe no one's told you this. You are. You are worth so much to God. And if He takes care of them, is He going to take care of you and me? He is. He is. And then He says, why are you worrying about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor do they spin, yet Solomon in all of his glory is not clothed like one of these. Solomon, who is proverbial for his glory, doesn't even come close to what a lily or a wildflower, the beauty. I'll tell you, last week, I don't know if you, the lilies that were up here and the tulips that were lining our sidewalk out there, I don't know if you looked at them. I hope you did. The beauty. When I pulled out of my driveway today, the daffodils are coming up. Yes! And I saw them and I, wow, that's beauty. Raw beauty. And you know who did that? My Father did that. Your Father did that. He clothed them. And they don't spin and they don't worry. He clothed them. Will He not much more clothe you? Take care of your needs. Verse 32, for Gentiles, non-believers, eagerly seek these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Said the robin to the sparrow. I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin. Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Folks, we have a gracious, loving heavenly Father that takes care of His kids. So we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't worry. Three, we shouldn't worry. First of all, we shouldn't worry because, you know, life is more than the things we worry about. Second of all, shouldn't worry because we have a gracious heavenly Father that's going to take care of us. Thirdly, we shouldn't worry because worry doesn't accomplish anything good. Verse 27, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Or as some translations put it, who by worry can add a cubit to his stature? The point's the same. Worry can't change anything. It doesn't accomplish anything good. As someone has said, worrying is like rocking in a rocking chair. It will occupy your time, but you don't get anywhere. Or as another sage has pointed out, worriers spend a lot of time shoveling smoke. It doesn't accomplish anything good. Jesus' point in asking the question is to say worrying is futile, so why engage in it? All worrying in the world produces nothing in the way of achievement. Someone stated, don't worry about the things you can change. Change them. And don't worry about the things you can't change. It doesn't do any good anyhow. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus says. Don't worry because it doesn't accomplish anything good. Just bad stuff in our lives. Number four, don't worry because worry is unbelief in disguise. It's unbelief in disguise. Verse 30, says, oh, you of little faith. And here's the problem, isn't it? Here's the problem. We worry when we have unbelief in our hearts. That's hard to say. But it's true. We're commanded in Scripture, don't worry. Verse 31, verse 34, do not worry, do not worry. Over in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. It's a command. To worry, it's hard to preach sometimes. To worry is sin. To worry is a lack of trust in God. George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of worry. John Wesley said, to worry is to doubt God. It is as dishonoring as cursing and swearing. Oof. Henry Ford, when he was 78 years old, 2 years before his death, he was interviewed by Dale Carnegie. And Carnegie asked him the question. He said, Ford, do you ever worry? Listen to his reply. He said, no. I believe God is managing affairs and that he doesn't need any advice from me. With God in charge, I believe that everything will work out for the best in the end. So what is there to worry about? That's Henry Ford. Wow. That's good, huh? If God's in control, what's there to worry about? What's there to worry about? Worry is unbelief in disguise. Number 5. Why shouldn't we worry? Because worry robs us of living for today. It says down in verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Or literally, tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Every day has enough trouble. Don't have to borrow trouble from the future. As Christians, we are not exempt from trouble and trials. But worrying about tomorrow does not help either tomorrow or today. If anything, it robs us of our effectiveness today, which means we will even be less effective tomorrow. I've read that many people live crucified between two thieves: regrets of the past and worries about tomorrow. And they live in that. Now, it's right to plan for tomorrow. It's right even maybe to save for tomorrow. But it is a sin to worry about the future and permit tomorrow to rob today of its blessings. I want you to remember this. Listen to this. Today is the tomorrow we worried about yesterday. Did you get that? Let me give it to you again. Today is the tomorrow we worried about yesterday. And when we worry, it robs us of the blessings and the opportunities that God has blessed us with today. Do you see that? This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and what? Be glad in it. You see, that's the perspective. If we're worrying, we miss God's blessings today. It robs us from living in the now and enjoying God's blessings and taking the opportunities that God has provided for us to serve him today. So don't worry. One finger, three fingers. Don't worry. Worries, I'll tell you, life is more important than that, what you're worried about. There's a lot of things more important than that. God is a gracious God. He's going to provide for our needs. Amen. Worrying doesn't accomplish anything good. Can't add 1 second to your life or 1 inch to your stature. Worry is unbelief in disguise. And worry robs us of living today. Don't worry. But number four, there's something we should be concerned about. What should be our concern? Verse 33. Look at verse 33 in your Bible. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, this is what our concern should be. Keep seeking God's interests, the interests of the kingdom. Make that your highest priority. Allow His perfect righteousness to fill your life. And all, not just some, all these things will be added unto you. All these things. Warren Wiersbe says that this section in how to overcome worry can be summarized in three words. Here they are. If you want to take them down, faith, Father, first. Faith, Father, first. Faith that is trusting God to meet our needs. Father, knowing He cares for His children. First, putting God's will first in our lives so that He might be glorified. If we have faith in our Father, put Him first, He will meet our needs. Our concern must be to seek His kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Is that true? I want to give you a personal testimony today. 29 years ago, at this very time, I was out of work. I had been a pastor in a church. And that church was a very liberal church. The denomination of that church was very liberal. The denomination denied the inerrancy of the Old Testament scriptures. And they came out with a pro-abortion stand. And I felt, folks, I'm going to tell you what, inside of me, I felt driven of the Holy Spirit to leave that church. I had to. I had no other option. We had two children at that time. 1 5, 1 3, and we had our third child in the oven on the way. I had no job. I had no severance pay. I had no savings. I had no unemployment. I had no income, source of income at all. Did God supply? Shortly after I left the church, a person called us, said, "We heard you left the church. We want to bring something over." They came over. They brought bags, several bags, full of meat, steaks, roasts, chops. I'm going to tell you, over the next 4 months, we never ate so well. Never. True? It's true. She said, "My husband was out of work for 6 months, and we ate hot dogs every night." That's when hot dogs were cheap back then. Remember? Some of you remember? "So we don't want you to have to do that. So God put it on our heart to bring these bags of steaks." One night, kitten Linda's pregnant. She's tired. She has two little ones. We ate dinner, and she said, "Oh, Les, will you do the dishes for me?" I said, "I've got to go out and minister, but I'll sacrifice. I'll go do." "Oh, I want to do the dishes." "No dish detergent." So I said, "Oh, Linda, there's no dish detergent. We'll have to just wait." And I ran out the door. Loving husband that I am. And so I'm out. I'm ministering someplace. And the phone rings. Hello? Hello? Would you go out and check your front porch? Linda said, who is this? No, honey, just go out and check your front porch. So Linda went out, put the phone down, went out and checked the front porch. Here's bags of groceries. 6 bags of groceries, something like that, filled with food. Filled with food. Just all the foods that we liked, all the brands that we liked, they were all in there. We liked bananas. They had bananas in there. And it was just everything that we liked were in those bags. Linda came back and said, who can I thank for this? She said, the person said, just thank God, honey, and hung up. So Linda brought the groceries in, and she's unpacking the groceries. Guess what was in the groceries? Dish detergent. So I come walking in, and she's on. Guess what happened? Here's what happened. And guess what? Go do the dishes. I had to do the dishes. But groceries provided for us by I don't know who. I don't know who that was. We had, before we left the church, about a month before, there was a couple in our church, Matt and Joanne. Matt was in the service, and he was leaving. He was going down south to a new assignment in the Army. And I said to them before they left, I had married this couple, and I said to them, you know, we're a growing family. My car is not going to be able to fit a third child. So when you're down south, would you look for a car for me? You know, down south, they don't rust out like they do up here. Look for a car, and if you see something good, give me a call, and I might want to buy a new car. I have to get something. So anyhow, he left, and then I left the church. One day, I get a call. Pastor Les. I said, yeah, this is Matt. Oh, hi, Matt. Hey, Pastor, we found this great car for you. It's a wonderful car, no rust. It was a great deal. I've been trying to reach you for a couple days. I haven't been able to get to you. So we bought this car for you. I said, what? I said, Matt, I left the church. I don't have any income. I can't afford that car. He said, well, it's a great deal, Pastor. Why don't you just take it, and then when you can afford it, you can pay us. And I said, I don't know if I'll ever get a job. I didn't. I mean, that's how I felt. I don't know if I'll ever get a job. And he said, well, Pastor, this is a great car. I said, I can't take it. I said, I'm sorry. He said, no problem. It is such a good deal. I know we'll be able to sell it. We'll just put it, you know, we'll put it in the paper and sell it. And so I hung up, and 3 weeks later, he calls and says, Pastor, I put this thing in the paper. We haven't had one call in 3 weeks. And we prayed about this, and God told us to give you this car. I said, oh, man, I can't do that. I can't take that. That's too, I just can't do that. He said, would you pray about it? I said, okay, I'll pray about it. He said, I'll call you back in a week. Called back in a week. He said, did you pray about it? I said, yeah, I prayed about it, and I just can't take the car. He said, well, I'll tell you what, we prayed about it. And either you're going to take this car, or we're donating it to our church, because this is not our car. This is God's car. So God gave us a car. I don't have any income. God gave us a car. I shouldn't say I didn't have any income, because I preached in different churches around the area. And I had kind of withheld my tithe for a while in the church before, when I was in the church, because I didn't feel I could give it to the church. And so I had some money in the bank, marked tithe. But I was getting a little bit antsy, and I thought, you know what? If I don't give that tithe pretty soon, I might be tempted to use that. So I sat down with my checkbook and made out, we didn't have a church at the time, so I made out checks to Haven of Rest and some other different organizations, mission organizations, and I made out all those tithe checks. And I put them in the envelopes, and I put them in the mailbox, and just sat there, and the mailman came and took all those tithe checks. I thought, oh, man, I feel better now. Went out to get the mail. And there was this envelope in the mail. It was from a company that I worked for 5 years before International Mineral and Chemical Company. And I worked for them for about 3 years. And there was a letter inside that said, "When you were working for us, we bought stock for you. And we have not been able to locate you. And we got your address. And we want to give you these shares of stock and 5 years of your dividends." And that's the same day, the 5 years of dividends were more than what I had sent out in the tithe. Does God supply? Oh my. Well, one last. I mean, I could tell you, I could go on and on and on here, but I won't. Tom. But when I left the church, we had our insurance through the denomination. And I was really not sure whether, when I left the church, whether the insurance was going to cover our delivery of our child. And I didn't ask because I was afraid if I asked, I would be tempted to stay. But thank the Lord, because she was pregnant before we left, the insurance would cover it, 80%. We only had to pay 20%. One night, Saturday night, you know what I'm going to say, Linda woke up and she had this burden on her heart. I have got to figure out how much we're going to have to pay. So she got up. We knew what the doctor bill and kind of figured out what the hospital bill would be and this kind of thing. And she figured out 20%. She got out of bed to do this. $586 is what we're going to have to pay. That was Saturday night. Sunday, I preached in a church in Akron, and they took a love offering. $586.20. Thank you, Lord. Does God care about us? Amen. Does God take care of his kids? Yes. Do we have to worry? God loves us. What we should be concerned? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Amen. Lord, thank you so much. And Lord, forgive me for my worry. Gone, Lord. Help me to remember what I preached here today. Help me, Lord. Help us to remember your words and to remember that we have such a great heavenly Father that has promised to provide our needs all the way up until you call us home. And I want to pray. I know there's people here that are carrying some worry, carrying some burdens. I pray, God, you'd minister this to their heart and help us to have faith in a great heavenly Father who loves us, and help us to put your interests first, and then we don't have to worry anymore, Lord. You'll take care of all things. Minister this to us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.